Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to still listen to all the content here at the station, you can download the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. You can also stream us on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeart Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
Going to be joining me on the phone is Coach Hurd. We'll speak with him in just a minute. Jason Bunn's going to join the program during the bottom part of the hour. Tigers will begin their regular season on Saturday against USF, 2 p.m. We'll get his thoughts. We haven't spoken to him since the Tigers took on Auburn in the exhibition, so we'll talk all things Tiger basketball with Jason Munns in just a bit. We'll get into the list during hour number two. We got the first batch of playoff rankings. While Memphis wasn't included in the rankings, Memphis was on the bracket. So we'll talk about the rankings and more. We'll tell your story, then we'll get out of here. But now let's welcome to the program. He is, of course, the head coach and the team director of Team Thad. Follow him on all socials at Dream Big Hurd. Coach Hurd, good day, sir.
Man, great day. Hump day. Yes, sir.
Firstly, I don't really feel like you deserve congratulations because you just took care of business, but congrats on the 49ers beating whatever form of the Giants that was on Sunday. That at no point did I even consider the Giants were in the game.
Man, you know what? Them Giants, I'm telling you, it's something about y'all that I think y'all are going in the right direction. And not to hate on George, but y'all the best team in New York, at least. So you got to take your wins, man.
We're the best team in New Jersey. The best team in New York is the Bills.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how we're gonna define it. But I guess I'll ask you this before we get into some basketball. Are you at this point? Is Mac Jones really that much worse than Brock Purdy? Because like I feel like I don't know. Like to me, it's just like, man, that's a lot of money to be giving Brock Purdy when you see, like, man, Mac Jones, to me, feels like he's basically doing the same things.
No, that's true. I didn't even – you know, we was at – I don't know if I told you, Jeffrey, but I was in Vegas over the weekend at the Nike meeting.
Yep.
So I was on and off it. But, yeah, Mac Jones, you know, they seem a little similar. It's just Purdy got he had his playoff stretch.
I think Purdy seems to be more mobile, too.
Yep, got more years on him. I look cooler with the staff. But these days, that I'm with you, that don't mean nothing because it feels like Arizona is almost taking like a backup quarterback side right now. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think it's almost like it felt like the locker room kind of demanded it.
And, you know, that's different these days because look at the Daniel Joneses and all the other guys. Soon something happened, they get thrown. They can have three good games. But now it's in, like, Arizona, like, it's going to feel like, I believe in what's right here. I got eyes. I'm not going to go by, you know, what happened in the past. This is the hot man. And we're going to, you know, we go ride with it. And when usually they don't do that in the NFL. They go back to what they know and who has the name.
Or the owner comes in and says, hey, I'm paying $200 million to this guy. Let's play that guy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he needs his investment.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it works. All right, I wanted to get your thoughts because it's not a topic that, like, I know everyone always feels like, oh, media just loves talking about negative stories and whatnot. I find myself getting exhausted with all of the Ja discussion. So I want to take it from you, who I consider to be level-headed. You know some of the players involved. What do you think right now is going on with Ja Morant? Like, how would you characterize it?
Well, you know, I have been on this situation watching it more from afar to within than within, but it one shows you how big time and popular he is. And so I was talking a little bit earlier with Jason and them. I think, you know, like me and you might bump into some stuff, Jeff, or even an average NBA guy, and it'll eventually blow over.
Yeah.
I hate it for him if that's what he's trying to do, because I feel like, man, he's so big and it's so everywhere. I don't know if it could blow over, and this might be unfair to him, without him making a statement or something first, saying like, and I'm sure he feel like he shouldn't have to do this, and I get him, but I think he's just so big and the internet's so big that if he don't make a statement or something like, man, me and the coach good, or me and the franchise good, or I'm committed to here like I have always been, and this where I just think it's going to be more piled and piled and piled, you know, rumors, you know, or whatever like that. And I think it just going to create a character. And I know you didn't quite ask me this. I'm kind of jumping into a two-part with it, but that's what I feel. Or if not, if you truly against it, then, you know, you got to know that story, go keep going on. But I'm in a belief, and there's only like a few games that started. So I don't think that can be made up and rectified and everything get back good. I mean, we're not even in one, you know, in a quarter of the games yet. You know what, we didn't play 8, 9, 10 games at the most.
Well,
so,
I mean, to your point, like, I think this has been a big part of this is I thought, honestly, until last Friday night, I kind of thought everything was going reasonably well, given the fact that I, you know, with the injuries that they have, I did not have super high expectations. And so the fact that they were able to kind of tread water, they won 3 of their first 5. And again, no one's going to mistake the Pelicans, the Pacers, George, who was the third one? Pelicans, Pacers, Suns. No one's going to mistake them for like contenders, but I'm not asking them at this point to be able to stack up with the best in the West. I'm asking them to tread water basically until they start to get some reinforcements back. But then it was like Friday night, it just felt like it went from 0 to 100, and it just kind of caught me like by surprise in that it just felt like it came out of nowhere. Normally you can kind of sense like when things are building up with Ja. This one was one that it just felt like, man, it just went from kind of everything being okay to like, what is going on here?
Yeah, people that studied it closely said like the second half of the Lakers game is the kind of when.
Yeah, so basically in the second half of the Lakers game, he just like, it was almost like he was like silently protesting. He was just kind of standing around, like he was not really active. Like the only shots he took, I think, were threes. Like he was very clearly like, he was proving a point. The point was, I don't know, but he was clearly making a statement.
So let me ask you this, the debate or the disagreement, was that supposed to have happened at halftime of that game or after that game?
George, isn't that Shams reported, I think, and I use air quotes with Shams, because you got to remember, Shams is, it's always going to come from an agent, and it's always going to be a story with an angle. I never know, but this is the closest thing we've gotten information. He was called out at halftime, correct? According to Shams?
As far as we know, I want to say that there was some sort of conversation at halftime that led to what we saw in the second half.
Correct.
And there was a definite call out post game.
Right. There was definitely the call out post game, which we assume leads to the suspension, the one game sit out against the Raptors on Sunday.
Because he said what he said in the post game.
Correct. And then Anthony Sain found a clip that I saw that he put online where Tuomas Isolo was doing like a podcast with like another European guy. And he was going through like how he believes that the best way to address team issues are do it in front of the whole team, basically. It like lined up with what at least Shams was saying. So the implication would be at the half, Tuomas, I don't know if it was at the behest of certain players on the team, but he felt it necessary to say something about Ja. Ja had the reaction that he did. That led to the second half where he was just like standing around doing nothing, and then that led to the one-game suspension. Then on Monday, when given the opportunity to like kind of defuse it, he basically just poured gasoline on it afterwards, and here we are.
Oh, yeah, here we are for sure. I will say, you know, me being a coach, I kind of like a straightforward approach where, you know, you do correct stuff where it is, and you do a kind of, you know, let's do it out in the open. But you have to be careful because some players are different, and you definitely have to be careful. I don't know what his bout is. I don't know any of that. But I feel like professional sports are still more player-driven.
Particularly in this league.
In high school and college, I feel like it's more, you know, coach, you know, league.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least a coach got to even plate somewhat, you know, outside of you being able to transfer. And so I give the coach respect because I feel like every coach got to have a standard and a culture. Also, I'm one of them guys, too, to feel like, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a coach, I feel like every player, whether it's LeBron, Jordan, whoever, you know, you still, you know, got to hear what the coach is saying, and you still got – the coach got to make a game plan that you got to trust and believe in. But with that being said, you know, that coach has some balls now if he's already going it. Whether it's deserving or not, for him to, you know, it's a lot of people that would have probably stood down as a first-year head coach, right? So for him to already be going, setting a message, and it just has everybody wondering, like – The Grizzlies or the organization, are they supporting what the coach is doing? Or are they, you know what I mean? It's just
questions. Because I totally agree with you. In an ideal world, I'm with you. I think the coach should be able to call out players, do it in front of everyone, keep it honest. Like, you know what I mean? I also know in practice, particularly in the NBA, I just don't know how realistic that is. Like, I got to imagine if J.J. Redick calls out LeBron in front of the whole team that J.J. needs to have movers on speed dial.
I mean, if you feel like that, Coach, you should be scared as the Grizzlies, Coach, because
Well, that's the problem.
Morant is a pretty big deal now. Like,
that's my whole thing is, like, I guess to a certain degree, I respect it. There's also kind of an element, I think I said this off the air, I can't remember if I said it on the air, but the Grizzlies are also doing the thing where, because they didn't really parent Ja Morant, now all of a sudden they're like over-parenting him, and it's almost like it just doesn't work like that. Like, all of a sudden now it's like there were no rules, and now it's like bedtime, dress code. Like, they're going kind of overboard because of a situation that, honestly, they created by enabling him a lot of times.
Yeah, so you figure that right now that they have the coach, they're taking the coach side, and then if that's the case, which I get it. I mean, that's how you run.
I think it's fair to say too. They're taking the coach's side for now.
For now, yeah. Let me put that on there. For now, for this week, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That I want to be very clear. I don't think that is a in forever.
Yeah, for sure. But then, I mean, I don't want to get in the mind of Ja and Ja camp. I mean, you know, Ja, you know how I tell you I feel the T and feel them all great dudes and tapping them. But it's like, it's just like you said, you don't want to be the guy to say media always negative. But because he's so, you know, exciting and popular and stuff like that, it's almost like you got to get online. And I'm not messing around. It's a different site doing this every 3 hours about the trade bait and trade rumors. That's why I say, like, at some point, where we go take a stand at this, or is he going to come out, or if we are taking the co-side right now, we're taking the co-side, not saying you're right or wrong with this stand, do that create something that we can't get ourselves out of later, right? So them are things I think we have to be careful. And we have to straddle the fence and understand then what can happen on the other end of the tunnel. I don't know how serious you're taking the trade.
No, I mean, so it's not that like I'm actively avoiding it. I don't think we're there yet, but I also think that this is true. If you just look at it in the sense of, okay, well, what do we know about the NBA when a big player gets traded? Like, all right, they start to have a, there's a public falling out with a coach. There starts to be criticism with the organization. And then oftentimes, like, there's an effort thing. Like, this kind of, if you took the names out and replaced it with James Harden, it's like, this is what Harden has done every time he's moved on.
Oh, yeah. And then they've been showing a lot of clips where, and I don't think we know where near that, where Butler was a kind of expressing his joy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah, he was expressing his joy and his usage rate. And, you know, I just want to shut that down. I'm going to be real with you, Jeffrey. Maybe it's not ignoring the other people. For me, I just would feel more confident if we shut that part down, right? And I don't owe it to us to come out and say that, but I do think it's real GMs out there that got their hopes up and they're monitoring the situation. In the
NBA
absolutely. Right now.
I mean, there's reports of it that they're like, I mean, again, to your point, it could be GMs trying to talk something up so that they could be an inevitable player. But yeah, it's out there. I think it's fair to say this. I don't think it's under consideration from the Grizzlies right now.
But this is my thing, Jeffrey. I don't think it's ever going to be in consideration of them. We need to get ahead of this thing. I don't think they will be the one making the call. I think it will be a request made to them or a sit out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question is, do you ever think that there's a point where the team could just say it's not worth the trouble anymore? I think we're a long way from that, to be honest with you.
No, we're a super. So let me – I don't want to get crazy. I'm just saying this, right? And what I'm saying ain't like I'm starting. It's 100 people talking about, you know, this situation all over the world and all over the station. But we have saw, and I think we're a long way from this, where a player demands it. Like,
yeah, no, I guess that's the other, I guess that's the other question I have. How often, with you knowing guys in the league, other than, like, you know, trades that, like – for instance, you know, if Jalen Wells needed to be traded to make something happen, I think that could happen. Like, we saw the Grizzlies traded Desmond Bane. But a player of Ja's caliber, how often does the team just move him? It's like, it feels like part of the Luka shock on top of just the return that the Mavs didn't get. It felt like part of it was the fact that, like, Luka didn't demand a trade. It feels like it very rarely happens where the team is the one that initiates it.
No, that's true. But what the Luka thing did show me, Coach, and I think if you would have betted me, I know you're a great better. And
I don't know about great. Not after this weekend.
If you know the rules, you know, you're formidable. Yeah, you have great knowledge in it. I feel like, you know, you can be doing a thing one way, Jeffrey, and you can be like, okay, I know I'm going home this way every day. I know this is going to happen. I know when Luka got traded, I said all gloves off. I felt anybody in the league could get traded at that point. Before then, you could have betted me a year. Before Luka got traded, I would have betted these are players that could never get traded against their will. Ja, Luka, LeBron would have threw in by 7-8 names. After that, it took it all the way down to just LeBron to me. Like, because you're talking about a guy.
And maybe Giannis because of Milwaukee's, like, in debt. You know what I mean?
We thought that. I'm going to be real, though. People thought the same thing. Like, Luka is top five in mostly every rankings the last few years.
Well, you want to talk about a guy that sold tickets, too, for that city.
Sold tickets. I was more of a Ja guy. But his people, a lot of people have Luka in front of Ja, depending on who you talk to, style of play, right? So I just feel like once the Luka stuff happened, Coach, yeah, I think it could happen to anybody. Now, I don't think the Grizzlies are that foolish because I think Ja Morant would maybe be the best player to ever play for the Grizzlies in my lifetime. But, you know, if it was to happen, you know, we don't want to mess with the listeners or whatever. I want Ja to stay, so we're just talking. But I do think, like, when Rudy Gobert and certain people,
yeah,
it could be some crazy deals out there, though, that's, you know, worth thinking about it. You won't get a John Morant, but, you know, if there's some people putting stuff online, it's pretty, you know, worth exciting playing with a little bit.
I mean, the one that I've seen that I guess I would say, quote unquote, makes the most sense, but I'm not super wild about it. If they, there was one for Trae Young, although Trae's got a player option next year, so there would have to be like an extension. And I don't know the rules of how do you sign an extension when the season's already started. Like, there'd have to be an agreement that an extension would be agreed upon for next summer, I think is how it would work. And then maybe you get the Pelicans pick that the Hawks got from the draft. But I'm like you. I'm not even saying this just to, you know, this is what I truly believe. Like, I think the organization is that's not even on their radar right now. Like, there was a report today, I can't remember if it was Mark Spears, maybe, of ESPN, said, don't let the Grizzlies fool you. Every player was available this summer. I've just not seen any proof of that. Everyone I know that talks to people that know think that that was never under consideration.
Yeah, I don't think John Morant or Jaren Jackson was ever.
I do think what's true is that Mark Spears was told by other GMs, and it goes back to your point that you made earlier, and I totally agree with this, is that I do think there are GMs that are trying to destabilize things throughout the league and get him more available, because also if they destabilize it, you may not have to give up as much. Like, you know what I mean?
No, you're head on with that. Man, Ja Morant, he's so young. He got so much stuff. I hope the Grizzlies and Ja work this thing out. Let me ask you, do you feel like, I mean, the team can say all day we're 100% committed.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, and I know he don't owe anyone, do you feel like he should come out and say something that'll make it worse? Like, everything's good and I'm all locked in with just the organization.
So the thing with John, see if you agree with this. He can come out, like, I thought, listen, if I were advising Ja, I would not have said what he said post-game Friday night or Monday night. But I think the problem, my thing with Ja is I'm at the point where I just don't really care what is said. Maybe it will make some fans feel better. Ja's, you don't have to wonder how Ja feels. You know what I mean? You just have to watch. Like, Ja will let you know how he feels. And I think the problem is he could come out and say all the right things, but if he's still going to be noticeably unhappy on the floor, that's always going to lead to panic. And I think that's kind of what took me by surprise. Is it went from everything looking pretty good. I mean, he was coming out saying, hey, I'm trying to play more games this year. Like, that's something that's important to me. And, you know, he turns his ankle in the first game and he's right back out there for a back-to-back. And I'm sitting there going like, okay, I might be listening now to what he's putting out there. But I think he's just got to have better body language. I think that's what most people, I think the internet is responding to what is said because it just, like, that's the nature of the internet. But I think what most fans are responding to is the body language.
Yeah, he has a certain,
wears his heart on his sleeve, for better or worse, you know?
Yeah, that's why I told somebody, it was like, he probably shouldn't have said certain thing in the postgame, but I'm like, I like the realness of it, but also, you know, some people just see the response. He was asked. It ain't like he just came out like and said, I don't have any joy. He was asked like, do you feel like you got joy? And you can tell on his face like he didn't seem happy. So to me, that was like
that was keeping it real.
Yeah. He was like, no, I don't have joy right now. You know what I mean? And so, when is that next game? Is it tonight?
Tonight against the Rockets. Tonight's the Rockets. Friday is the Mavs. And then, George, they play Sunday?
Against OKC.
Sunday against OKC. This is kind of the other, to me, this is the elephant in the room. I do think a big part of this is, no duh, like, they're not playing well, but I think they're also not playing well because the guys that they're having to play are guys that you would not want to play. You know what I mean? Like, they've been forced because of injuries to play lesser players. My big fear is that, given the schedule, like, it's just not going to let up. And, you know, losing can take its toll. You know, as much as we always want to be on the good teams, we've been parts of bad teams. You know what I mean? Losing sucks, and everyone's unhappy. Yeah. It's just the worst.
Yeah, and being in the West, when you just told me that schedule, I'm like,
oh. I know. It's like I looked at that. I'm like, boy, this is – oh, man.
And now them road games, are we here?
So they're here for the rest of the week, but then they go to the Knicks. They have a back-to-back at New York against the Knicks and then at Boston.
Well, he had a home crowd behind him, so hopefully he get, you know, he – I just think the guy loves basketball too much, too. Like I said, it ain't like his football or his Twitter. It's 82 games. So at some point, you know, Josh just, to me, a few wins and highlight dunks and complete games from, you know – I'm sure him and the coach, they practicing. Do you think they're, like, probably talking right now? What's your guess?
Yeah, I think they are because – even Harrington said he was sitting down low in the during the Pistons game on Monday, and they were still talking like normal basketball talking, like about, you know, coverages and whatnot. So I don't think it's at that point. Like I think the other problem is it's like I kind of thought everybody knew the score in the sense that with the Grizzlies having this many injuries to start the season, and if you looked at the schedule, you knew that, hey, man, they could be in for a bumpy start. But maybe it's a little like, remember when Ja got suspended for the 25 games, and you kind of talked yourself into, it's like, okay, that's a steep suspension, but you're sitting there going, all right, he can be back in December. Last year, they weren't as good as maybe the year before when Ja was out, but they were still able to be, you know, a 500 basketball team or better, and then you just realized, like, halfway through the suspension when they're sitting there, I think at one point they were, like, 3-19 to start the season, and you're just like, I did not think it was going to be like, once you actually get into it and you realize, oh, the 25-game suspension was essentially a death sentence, I think it's maybe it's a situation where you can understand going into the season, but then when you start going through it, you still react emotionally.
No, for sure. Like you say, because we are losing is not fun
at all.
But with Ja, I think is, you know what, Coach? I also think with him, because everything been spotlighted. You know, stars do have, you know, that's what makes them stars, and they have the potential. You know, they do like, you know, like with Jimmy. You know, Miami was winning at one point, but you know, he didn't like his usage rate. So they do like style.
And I do think that's, I think, a couple of things of frustration. Number one, here's where, like, I want to be clear. I'm not pointing the finger and saying this is all Ja. I do think there's some context. I would also point out to Ja, you're the one making $40-something million. Like, there's a responsibility. But I'm sure part of the frustration is the way that they're implementing the rotations. It's like these 3 to 5 minute spurts, rather than, you know, a normal rotation. I think that is frustrating. I think it's also super frustrating for him when he creates a great shot and, you know, either it's a clanked three or, hey, I created a great lob for my big and, like, they can't even catch the basketball. Like, I do think there are frustrations. Like, and I'm not saying any of it is unmerited. I think that there's just still a lack of Ja still seems to not recognize how much his mood impacts everyone else.
Oh, for sure. He's the number one guy.
Right.
He is the number one guy. And I feel like he have matured a lot since all, you know, the other stuff. And I feel like this is just one more test that I think, you know, he will be up for. But like you say, he's missing shots. He's missing passes. But like you say, I still go back to, like you say, their rotation. People like, he's still playing 30, so I'm like, yeah, but them stars are kind of used to having their rotations bigger.
Well, I mean, you know as well as I do, they care about their stats.
Yeah, their minutes. And this is a new word that I keep saying, not new, but their minutes, the style of play, how much the ball, and their usage rate.
Absolutely.
And so – and I'm not saying it's about Ja, but Jeffrey, I'm going to be real with you. they care about that, if not the same or more than they care about winning, most of them, too.
And, I mean, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that that's – like, yes, I know we all ideally would like to – it's all about the team, and that's all that matters. But, like, hey, man, there's financial implications here. You know, you get certain numbers, you get up on certain lists. Those lists can lead to more money. Like, I want to be clear about that. I still think, to me – let me pick your brain on this. So – I think part of the problem is if you look at it in these terms, Ja and Jaren right now are averaging together on the floor about 16 minutes a game. Because clearly what they're trying to do, the philosophy would be, we are so shorthanded, we can't afford to have both of them off the floor. We need to have one on the floor at one time. So they're kind of staggering it. I can understand that. But I almost think, like, this idea that right now it's almost like if you have a bunch of guys that are not good players, if you can play them in shorter stints and hit them with pace and whatnot, that leads to – that can make up for the lack of talent. I almost wonder, though, like, if they're this shorthanded, like, are you just better off figuring out, like, hey, maybe we want to play a certain style, but we don't have the personnel to do it. We just got to play our guys more minutes, and then you get into the complicating factor of, hey, man, it's November. Like, are you really going to exhaust everyone this early in the season? Like, how would you kind of balance that? Because it seems like what they're trying to – how they're trying to approach making up for the lack of talent that they have right now given the injuries is, like, using numbers in their favor, like playing more guys but with more energy and for shorter stints.
I kind of like it, but I don't know if this is going to work with John Morant.
I think we might have actually, like, stumbled on, like, at the end, like, this is really probably what it's all about.
Yeah, because he's going, I mean, he's a young man. He's going to still want his, like, NBA superstar franchise. He's going to probably want his 40 minutes, Coach. Like, I know people I saw 31. Yeah, that's cool for, like, 80% of the lead, but I think he go on his 40 minutes.
No, I think you're right. All right, we'll holler at you again at the top of the hour.
Yes, sir.
That is Coach Hurd. When we come back, Jason Munn's going to join the program. Let's talk about the other basketball team in town. Tiger basketball next right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on the Everything app at Munsley. Jason, what are we listening to?
Jeffrey, this is Wet Leg, and the song is called Catch These Fists.
Catch These Fists. All right. I don't know. Maybe I should have realized this, but are the Tigers going to be like the last team in the country to play their first game?
They might be, actually. LSU, I think, plays tonight their first game. So there are some that are still hanging around out there. But, yeah, like, I don't know that for sure. But that
I saw Illinois State was also 0-0.
Yeah, I don't think Alabama State may actually
Butler
play.
Hasn't played yet, but Butler will play tonight.
Yeah, I checked on Alabama State. I think they may actually start either Saturday or maybe even later than Memphis. So if they're not the latest,
they start Friday night at Florida State.
Okay, so yeah, I mean it's entirely possible. That they are among the, I can't imagine that they're going to be the last. I feel like there's going to be a West Coast team that probably plays their first game Saturday. And just by virtue of the fact that they're on the West Coast, that they'll be later. But yeah, they're certainly going to be among the last.
Again, I understand it's hard to put a schedule together, particularly when you know the non-conference portion of your schedule is so critical as it is for the Tigers. But is there a reason why they're starting later?
I mean, I think I think it boils down to the dates that they were able to get for the exhibitions. I mean, could they have played at some point this week? Yes. But I don't think they wanted to. I think they wanted to wait, given the fact that they were playing Arkansas and Auburn 3 days apart, with the Auburn game coming on October 30th. So I think they wanted to give themselves a little bit of breathing room between that game and the season opener.
Okay, so a story, and I think maybe y'all discussed it on the CA's podcast. What do we know about this team? I guess this would be the first question. How fair is the panic of we just saw Auburn need overtime to beat Bethune-Cookman? How the people that are using the transitive property of college basketball from last Friday night's scrimmage, how fair is that panic?
Well, I mean, genuinely, the longer we go, the more we talk to Penny Hardaway, which we just talked to him a couple of hours ago. The more we talk to him, the more legitimate that feeling becomes. I mean, you know, like, yeah, you know, whatever happened against Arkansas, it's one game, it's an exhibition. They played well in the first half. They didn't in the second half. It is what it is. You lost by 24, but really and truly, it Arkansas.
That game got out of hand late, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can kind of write that one off. And then you go to Atlanta, and it was over when it started. Like from the second it started, that game was over. Memphis was never in it. It like they just were never in it. And it sort of started to kind of like, oh, well, okay. You finished really poorly against Arkansas, and you have now started really, like, probably even worse against Auburn. And it's an Auburn team that, you know, is not Arkansas. Arkansas has got legitimate Final Four like projections. Auburn does not. Auburn lost its first exhibition game to Oklahoma State, which, you know, okay, Oklahoma State, but they're not. Oklahoma State is not in the upper tier of the Big 12, not expected to be in the upper tier of the Big 12 this year. So, you know, and then we talked to Penny after the game, and, you know, he was saying certain things that just were honestly kind of alarming. And, you know, he was like hinting at, you know, not getting guys to buy in and, you know, I don't think he ever said that there was, you know, care factor was a big term, two seasons ago when things went really south, when things went from really good to really bad, two seasons ago, that care factor was a big theme of that season. He didn't use those words, but after that Auburn game, that's kind of what he was saying, is that he's starting to worry a little bit more about the buy-in and the energy that he is getting from, you know, multiple players that he needs more energy from. And so there, yeah, it was like, okay, well, this doesn't sound great, and it's right on the heels of what we just saw, which definitely wasn't great by any stretch. And then, you know, you mentioned the podcast. We recorded it yesterday, and I'm still not I'm not like saying that this is, you know, that things are, you know, like that. I don't want to be all doom and gloom at all, but. You know, we talked to Penny again just a couple of hours ago, and he's still saying, I mean, I asked him point blank, lots of these things that we've been seeing and that you've been seeing that we haven't seen, like, do they make you nervous, legitimately nervous about this season, or do they scare you at all? And he's like, yeah. So, I mean, again, I don't think, I legitimately don't think that it is I don't think anybody can say, well, boys, buckle up. Like, this is definitely going to be a rough ride. I don't think anybody can say that because we just don't know. I mean, the light bulb can go on at any point if it's not already on. The light bulb can go on. It doesn't, based on what we've seen and what we're hearing, what we're being told, it's touch and go for sure.
Well, and I think that's kind of the fear, and to your point, like when you don't have information, it's obviously speculation is going to arise. And in this point, like we don't have other games to look at. You know what I mean? Like we only have what we've seen. I think though the thing that would be terrifying is, okay, you look at the schedule and it's one of those ones where it's like, I think once they get into AAC play, they're going to be fine. Like I think they will have a better roster than pretty much everyone they play. They're going to be fine. But you worry about, well, what if the thing never even gets out of this? What if the train never leaves the station? Because, you know, you didn't have things figured out. You get off to this horrible start and, you know, you lose the team.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think there are legitimate, you know, some of the concerns that Penny is expressing publicly, I think they are legitimate concerns. And yes, that time is not something that they have on their side. Like Penny even said it today, like his direct words were, the pressure is on. You know, San Francisco's coming in here. I mean, they're not, you know, San Francisco's not Purdue, but, you know, they've got some players. Like that's a quality
player. They're not Alabama State.
No, they are not. That is a good team that is coming into your building. You know, and you've got to be ready for that. And then, of course, you've got Ole Miss after that, and then you've got UNLV, which that's a different discussion. They've got their own issues, apparently.
I think, three of their top five are already hurt. I think that's right.
Yeah, something like that. And then they were 17.5-point favorites last night against UT Martin in Vegas and lost by five. So anyway, but that's a discussion for another day.
Listen, yeah, no one can ever take the Skyhawks lightly. I mean, you know what I mean? Like that game travels.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like whatever doubts that we have about this team, like we're going to find out very quickly whether they are founded or unfounded, you know, like, we talked to Quante Berry and Curtis Givens III today, and they told us that they had a team meeting last night. Which, I mean, have you ever heard of the old
players only team meeting before you played a game?
Exactly. That was the preseason players only team meeting. I don't know that I've come across that very often.
I did cover a team that the coach threw a funeral for himself. Yeah. Wow. For those that don't, yeah, Hugh Freeze had the team throw, like he basically like did a funeral for himself with the team having to like be the speakers.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one was up there on the that brought narcissism to a whole new level.
Well, I don't think that was.
This would be on the unusual list, but not that unusual compared to that level.
Yeah, they said it lasted about 20 minutes, and that, you know, the way Quante Berry explained it was like what some people may look at as, you know, like a player not playing very hard or, you know, not giving the energy that Penny wants. He believes, and I think some others on the team believe that it's not about like a lack of buy-in. It's more about just not being on the same page.
I can buy that because oftentimes, like, hey, when you're confused or you know you're thinking out there, like, yeah, that's oftentimes when it may look like you're not giving effort, but really, it's like you're uncertain.
Some people's go-to is to just kind of shut down at that point.
Yeah.
And like, you know, wait for someone to step in and, you know, bring it all together, like enlighten you. That was kind of his point. But he said that, you know, but Quante said during the team meeting that everybody got on the same page. Everybody got a better understanding of everybody else. and that they are, that he is confident that they are going to fight on Saturday. That was the way he, that was the way he put it. He was like, you know, rest assured, we're going to go out there and we're going to give it everything we have to win that game. So, you know, but again, not a whole lot of what we've seen and heard so far inspires much in the way of confidence. All that being said, it was exhibition season. You know, again, like I said, the light bulb can go on at any moment. This is a talented roster. There are talented players on this team. Now, a couple of them, we got updates today from Penny about Hassan Abdul-Hakim, who he has been very high on, been dealing with a quad injury most of the offseason. He says he's about 75-80%, which doesn't, you know, it sounds like he's going to need a little bit more time. And Tariq Ingram, the big man that they signed late, very late in the process, showed up in late September after he signed, like not ready. He had, you know, sat around most of the off season wondering whether or not he was going to get a waiver. And then when he did, he hadn't been kept ready to go. Yeah. So it's taking a while to ramp him up as well. But he said that Tariq has had a very good week this week. He said he's down about 13 pounds since he got here in September. You know, there are, again, there is talent on this team. It's just a matter of can they come together? And if so, when?
We're talking to Jason Munns, Tiger Basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. If you had to set an over-under on number of players that will be in the rotation on Saturday, what would it be?
We actually had me and some of the other reporters had this conversation as we were waiting for Penny to arrive to availability this afternoon. I said 10.
Okay.
I think he's going to cap it at 10. So I guess I would set the over-under at 9. Or what, 9.5?
9.5, yeah.
But I think he's going to stop at 10 because, and he, once Penny came out, you know, like he even said, and he said this after the Auburn game, he said 7 or 8. I think that what I take from him saying 7 or 8, like with some of the other things that he's saying, is that that is the number of players he has on his roster that are giving him what he wants right now in terms of effort, energy, body language, production, IQ, you know, all those things. Like there's only about 7 or 8 guys of the 15 who are giving him what he wants right now. And it's not necessarily, this is the way he said it to me today. It's not necessarily, he said the problem that they have right now is that the guys who are giving the energy and the effort and who are, you know, bought in are not necessarily at the top of the pecking order in terms of talent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like they're sort of, he's sort of caught in this weird, you know, catch 22 thing. But anyway, I don't think he's going to go past 10 because, based on what we've seen and the way it sounds, you know, he just doesn't have the guys that he trusts right now to go much deeper than that, if at all. You know, but at the same time, if it gets out of hand, I could see him, you know, going to that rapid fire 12-13 man rotation.
What do you think? Kind of, what are the knowns going into this?
We know Doug McDaniel's really good. We know he's the leader of this team. We know Sincere Parker can score. Penny said that he said earlier today that Sincere hasn't really based because of obviously some extenuating circumstances that he's been having to deal with, things outside of basketball that you'd rather not have to deal with.
Sure.
That he hasn't exactly come out of his shell, that he's been a little bit preoccupied. And so because of that, Penny said that, you know, up until very recently, they had not like put anything like plays designed to go to him or through him. They only recently did that for him. And so, but he thinks that that is going to help Sincere a lot, even though the other day against Auburn, he scored 19 points and looked really good doing it. We know those two players are, at least right now, your top two go-to guys on offense. Outside of that, we don't know much. Is Aaron Bradshaw ready to get himself over the hump? We don't know. Is Tierno Silla going to be like a key reliable component to the Tigers front court? We don't know. Is Tariq Ingram ready? Or how long is it going to take for him to get ready? We don't know. So it's there are a lot of unknowns with this team, which I think is contributing to the uneasy feeling that's sort of hovering right now. But I guess we should say we know Simon Majok has got some moves.
Yeah,
that was pretty sweet to see what he did the other night against Auburn. And he played 13 minutes and had 5 points and 7 boards. So maybe he earned himself some more minutes. But we don't know much, but we will soon.
Well, it's like I'm trying to not be prisoner of the moment. And obviously, it's not unusual now for a college basketball team to have unknowns and uncertainties, like when everyone's basically just assembling a roster you know, from year to year. I just don't remember the vibe being this. Like, I feel like even the team is kind of admitting like there's things going on. Like, they didn't play great in either exhibition last year. It's like maybe like in one, they had one good half. Like, I think the North Carolina game, right? It was a good half in the second half. Mm-hmm. And then it was kind of the same maybe in the Bama game.
Yeah, it was. I think you're right. It was like second half against North Carolina and the first half against Alabama. I think you're right. Like, everybody needs to sort of allow for the possibility that this is all just a mirage. That, like, all this doubt could just be could dissipate very soon, because we do not have any sample size of like stuff that counts, like I said, we will very soon.
We will on Saturday. Munns, we appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, let's get into the list. We'll get into the playoff rankings and more from the world of sports. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.